Well, good morning, and welcome to the Carson Anderson Radio Program. Back in studio, myself, along with my partner, Scott Anderson. Keg's behind the glass. How you doing today, Keg? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys doing? I don't notice. Your voice sounds different without leaf bolt blowers or something.
Yeah,
I know,
right?
Okay.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
Do what you can do, you know, fire something up.
How many leaf blowers were there at one point?
I think there were, like there were several 10. Teams. You know, yeah. Look, there's a reason that course is immaculate.
They
right?
came in squadrons.
Yeah. Alpha team, go. Beta team, you're on deck.
Stand down. They're in commercial break.
Double deck, Charlie. Yep. Double deck.
They're back on the air. Yeah, go, go, right. go.
Exactly, right? Where's the mower?
How you doing today?
Aside from being a little sunburnt, I'm okay.
Are you a little sunburned?
Well, can you tell with my forehead?
You look fine. Yeah. It doesn't look too bad.
My arms are...
You know,
I'll be all right.
Grandma Karsh, who at one point was Grandma Heckamin, was a Delaware Indian, and I'm very fortunate in that when I do get a lot of sun, if I burn, it feels like it just goes away quickly. I'm really lucky.
That's good. Yep. Grandma Olson, who was Grandma Hedstrom... lived up in just outside the North Pole in Sweden. So,
and the reaction to the sun's a little different on the Anderson side.
Well, it's on the Olsen side. Yeah, my mother's mother. Yeah, that a little different when you're up, within miles of the North Pole.
I understand.
Yeah,
I understand.
Arctic Circle. I'm sorry.
Well, so the where I land is we have Grandma Karsh, who is Delaware Indian. Married Fritz Karsh, who escaped Nazi Germany, literally. And on the other side, we've got two O'Briens who came over on a boat from Ireland. So between my kids, I've got one that's definitely Irish, two that are more.
I see the one. Yeah, I see the difference, yeah.
So you get Irish and you get American Indian. And
yeah, we have, so the Anderson side, there's some Irish, some German. I think maybe a sliver of English in there, but I think it's typically Irish and German. But the mom side, the Olsen side, is all Sweden. So yeah, part of it. My grandfather was Stockholm, and my grandmother was up in the Luleå, which is way up.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But anyway,
and my brother, there is a difference though. My dad actually he could tan a little bit. My brother tans reasonably well. Me, not so much.
You just fry.
But I'm not like completely
no,
a
you
ghost.
No, you look okay.
Yeah, I can, you know, put on a little bit of a tan. But
well, thank you to the people at Oakland Hills that helped out with the broadcast yesterday. So, back in studio today, NBA Finals, interesting game last night. Spurs showed a little grow up. Good for them.
Yeah, I'm really upset with myself for not saying this yesterday because my thought was when I said is Wemby just they lack the experience right now, they're too young, and what I wanted to say was they do for now, but this is a team that can grow up quickly. Like this, I'm not going to be surprised.
You wanted to predict what was going
to
happen,
and
you didn't.
Yeah, here we go.
We talked a lot about the grow up and how they looked. It looked like a young team at the end of some games, some key moments in game one and game two.
Is it too late if I say Spurs in six?
No, go ahead. Say it.
Spurs in six.
So.
That was really galactic, right?
Do you really believe it?
Yeah, I do. Because I thought the Spurs were a way better team than the Knicks anyway. And I'm like, I can't believe the Knicks are up 2-0. And the Spurs just didn't finish things off. And okay.
If it's Spurs in six, that means the home team will go. We'll only win one game the whole series.
That's right.
Yeah. Road court advantage. You know, I mean, last night, I don't think I'm particularly susceptible to hype.
You don't believe the hype?
Well, I maybe I was last night. Maybe I just had a moment. But, you know, the game was on. I was making dinner. I had all the pregame stuff on. And I got to tell you, this feels like one of the biggest deals. And I have no point of reference. I have no way of knowing this is true. But watching it in the pregame and the buildup last night for game three of the NBA Finals, I felt like this is like the biggest game in the history of New York City. Any sport. This felt massive to me. I was getting Super Bowl vibes with all the celebrities in the buildup. And I'm like, God, I'm falling for the hype here. But,
yeah, you are.
But between the ticket prices and Celebrity Row and just the scenes outside the arena...
I don't think we should make any mistake about this. The Super Bowl is bigger, right? For even for New Yorkers, I just think that because the Knicks haven't won, they're the last team that hasn't won a title in New York since the 70s, I guess, right? 71 or whatever it was. But it's also, you only get 19, 20,000 people in that stadium. Mm-hmm. So it is a premium. And now that they've reached the finals, it's the new hotness. It's right here. Do I think it would have been the same thing for if the Rangers were there? No. But I think it's because there's only 20,000 people, so it gets all hyped up.
I got caught up in the moment. Oh, like, no. I seriously got caught up in the moment in terms of how big this game was, which, two things about that. I think the Knicks got caught up in the moment. That was one of the most careless first 5 minutes of a basketball game I've ever seen.
Oh.
Like, when we got frustrated with the Pistons and the turnovers, and how can you turn it? How can you, Cade? How can you do? Just watch last night, and you realize it can happen to anybody.
Happened late, too.
For and the Knicks, yes, it did. Early in the game, though, I thought they got caught up in the moment, and I got to give San Antonio a ton of credit because I thought they answered the moment. And I just keep thinking about putting the Pistons in this context. How would they respond? And I suspect it's very difficult for a young team to go into that stage and that environment and respond in a positive fashion. But again, San Antonio deserves a boatload of credit. And I thought the Knicks probably, with all of the hype and the pregame, and I mean, look, they're running out of the tunnel, and I think it was Shaq that said, "I'm getting goosebumps," or maybe it was Carmelo. I don't remember who it was. Kang, do you remember that?
No, I don't remember, right, but I do. I know what you're talking about with the atmosphere and everything like that. Yeah. It's huge, obviously, because it's the Knicks. We get it. Yep. You know what I mean? They haven't been there forever.
It's Ben Stiller.
It's considered the mecca of basketball for a lot of people. And, you know, you mentioned Celebrity Row, just, you know, sitting presidents in the stadium, all this stuff. It's huge, right? But you're right, Doug. I think we're so hyper-focused on the Pistons and Cade Cunningham's turnover issues. They don't realize, dude, that people are turning the ball over like crazy. Stephon Castle is one of the best young players in this league. He's had some monster turnover games during this playoffs. Like, it happens, and it's tough, man. Defenses step up. And another thing I noticed last night, because they're letting them play defense. It's a
physical as hell.
Yeah, I can't believe the way they were calling it. I'm like thinking, do the Pistons have a shot if they call it like this? You know,
it's going to change for game four, of course. I think game four, they're going to start calling more stuff because, you know, Mike Brown was complaining about it afterwards, and that's just what happens. But I do agree with this. It was physical last night, and the foul baiting that was going on that went unrewarded was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it's the best. It's the best when that stuff doesn't get called.
I couldn't believe how many New York Knicks players, there's some Spurs too, but the Knicks players that would just hit the ground. Mm-hmm. After shots where the guys are like trying to get in position for a rebound, know they have no chance, they just hit the deck hoping they're going to get some call. Like, would you stop? This is basketball. Come on, man.
Yeah.
But that's what they've been conditioned to do now.
Again, if you put the Pistons in that context, and I mean, that's a beef stew kind of game. And that's a Jalen Duren kind of game. I mean, that's a game that I think the Pistons could play in a game like that. And if it's going to be that physical, now the Pistons got a lot of growing to do and they need to add some stuff. Because like early in the game, they established Wemby the way we'd like the Pistons to establish Duren early in a game. And then that opens up the perimeter. I don't know what San Antonio was in the first quarter from three, but I suspect it was outstanding. They were 4 of 7 from three because they were getting
better than 50%.
They were getting open threes because they could throw the ball in the area code of Wemby, which they didn't do enough at the end of game two, throw in the area code of Wemby, and he would go up and grab it over here and dunk it over there. Like, it's amazing the wingspan that this guy has. Thanks, Doug. This just in, Wemby tall. But you know, if the Pistons could establish...
Even Gronk no Wemby tall.
Yeah. If the Pistons could establish Duren early in a game... The guy that they could establish during the regular season and just didn't in the postseason. It would certainly open things up for all of their current shooters and their soon-to-be-added shooters. He says, hopefully, crossing his fingers. But enough leg humping the NBA Finals. Got some stuff to get caught up on that we didn't get to yesterday, plus we'll have open lines. 248-539-9797. You look like you're dying to say something.
We have some local breaking news that we'll deliver in 4 minutes.
Whoa. Okay. We'll get to that coming up here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Get to your phone calls coming up here on Carson Anderson. But Gator mentioned we have some breaking news in the world of Detroit sports. It kind of sucks.
It does. This comes from Tony Paul, the Detroit News, who has an article that says the Rocket Classic will be held for the eighth and final time later this summer. This is the news has learned, and Rocket companies and the PGA Tour have confirmed the 2026 tournament is still going to take place coming up at the end of July, July 30th through August 2nd mm-hmm. at Detroit Golf Club. But amid imminent changes to the PGA Tour schedule, sagging attendance, and the struggle to draw marquee players in recent years, Rocket has declined to exercise its option for 2027. So Rocket is ending this.
Yeah.
They could have played next year as well. They're saying no, they're not going to. And this kind of sucks. So this has been a 13-year relationship that Dan Gilbert has had with the PGA Tour, that he has been a tour sponsor. But this is they're not going to continue after this one. It's disappointing to me. I've enjoyed the tournament on TV, love watching it, been participating in Media Day and all that, because you get to find out the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And they've raised millions of dollars over the years. The benefit, it's a direct benefit to the city of Detroit, and specifically for schools, and trying to get, you know, every family with internet capabilities and everything. It's been a really nice gesture from Rocket and what they've done with this. So it is sad. And it's we saw Mark Hollis yesterday out at Oakland Hills, and he is the Rocket tournament director. And he's quoted here saying, after nearly 13 years as PGA Tour title sponsor, including 8 years in Detroit, 2026 will mark the final Rocket Classic.
So this is the second PGA event in my lifetime that has run its course in our state mm-hmm. with the Buick Open, which was in Grand Blanc at Warwick Hills for a long time. I don't remember when it died, but like the last 10, 15 years or whatever it was.
I want to say, I remember being there doing a show there with Tony Ortiz, because you were out, and Tony and I did the show, and it was the day after the Pistons drafted Rodney Stuckey, I believe.
So big day indeed.
So we had that. So that's what, 2007 or something like that?
2009 was the final Buick Open. So then we get the Rocket Classic, you said, for the last 8 years. Now that has run its course and died off, which is really, now we do have an LPGA event that's actually this week in Midland, and we still have a senior tour event. What are the details? I know we do got the Ally Challenge now is at Warwick Hills and has been there since 2018, but does it seem strange that a state that has like the most golf courses per capita in the country can't consistently support a PGA Tour event?
Maybe a little bit, but I guess so. Those are, look, this would have been an amazing little piece of news to have going into yesterday, right? Because we're there at the Detroit Sports Commission, and you know, somebody from there could help us explain, you know, how that works, because I'm sure they're lobbying to get golf tournaments here as well.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, the state of Michigan is one of the absolute best states in the country for golf. There's a million courses. There's a ton of really, really great courses. And in this article from the Detroit News and Tony Paul, it says that the PGA Tour, in a statement to the news, thanked Rocket Companies for its 13 years as title sponsor, while also leaving open the possibility that the PGA Tour will be back in the city or Metro Detroit in the future. It's unclear how soon that could happen, or if the PGA Tour can find a company and venue to make that happen. A lot of it is, you know, it's being able to get people into the tournament. You know, people always ask, why don't they have a tournament up at like Bay Harbor or mm-hmm. Arcadia Bluffs? And there's reasons they don't. You know, some of it's just trying to get 50,000 people to walk that course is not, you can't do that. It's just not, courses aren't set up for
that. When I asked about that, the response that I got was, they're not long enough. Those courses aren't long enough for the pros.
Arcadia definitely isn't, but I don't know if Bay Harbor could be.
Yeah, I mean, I was playing Boyne Highlands, and I asked a pro there, how come like these courses aren't really considered for PGA? And they said they're not long enough. There's probably a course or two up there that is. But is the infrastructure in place to take it to And I don't know if resort golf lines up with PGA events. My suspicion is it doesn't.
Probably not. And, you know, the state of Michigan, you know, the golf is great, but the golf is great all over the country in the summer, as long as, it, you know, that's why you don't see the, you don't see summer events being played in Texas or Arizona. Or, you know, you see them played up in the northern states, which is where we shine. And I think that there would be a bunch of courses that you would think would be in line in the state of Michigan, whether it's in Metro Detroit or out towards the west side of the state or just a little bit north. But we'll see. But I think, yeah, a lot of it is just the infrastructure of trying to host an event like that. I know the U.S. Senior Open has done a they're in a rotation over at Harbor Shores out in the west side of the state. And I played that course right after it opened up, I think a year after it opened up. I'm amazed they actually have a tournament event there. Not that the course isn't beautiful, because it's awesome, but there are like holes. Some holes are almost a mile apart from each other. It feels like it's a mile apart. Like it's a 5 minute ride in a golf cart to get there. It felt like,
which so, when you're in a golf cart playing is actually kind of awesome, but for hosting an event,
but it's a little weird to try to walk that and get fans there. It's difficult. And you gotta, you know, there's hotel space and all this, but so you're having to bus people into different events. You know, we had the Live Golf event that was out in Plymouth last year, and the course looked amazing on television. Is that a possibility for the future, that maybe that course is set up for
like a real event,
a real PGA Tour event? Right. And you hate Live.
I hate Live.
I can't tell. Do you not like Live?
Yeah. And so, but the thing about, you know, I went as a fan to the Detroit Golf Club twice, okay, where I spent the whole day there
for the
watching
Rocket
golf for the Rocket Classic. And I absolutely loved it. Okay. I had a phenomenal time. There's a couple things about it. One is, I don't, in our jobs, the amount of times where you're just a fan and you have no responsibilities and you're sucking down a couple beers and following guys around and cheering and being an idiot, it happens rarely. And so I kind of got a skewed opinion. Anytime I get to be a fan of anything where I have no work responsibilities, I just absolutely love it. So maybe I'm not a great representative of how cool that event was. I enjoyed it, but I was walking around going, you know, who the hell is Pat Geeter, right? I didn't know any of these golfers that were making amazing shots. The difference between Pat Geeter and, you know, Brooks Koepka is so tiny and minuscule, but at the end of the day, they're all so incredible that it didn't matter to me as much. I mean, it would have been cooler if it were, you know, Scotty, instead of, you know, some guy named Jans I've never heard of. But at the end of the day, it was really, really fun for me, and I endorsed it. But my guess, I mean, you know, they just couldn't get the big names to come here.
Well, you guys, it's established. Ooh. I'm not the golfer on the show here, but so I'm asking this because I've been told by many people, not just you guys, friends that golf, say Michigan is one of the best, if not the best, the best for golf courses. Like they love so there's so many courses. They're just beautiful courses for, you know, every
all
level.
Different types,
exactly.
Yeah.
So my question is it because it's more of like an everyman course, like a state, you know what I mean? As compared to like the, I don't know. My question is, why aren't they getting the sustainable tournaments,
yeah,
you know, with
I
big names?
It's
like,
the names. And it's because where they had it slotted on the schedule was not the greatest slot, because it would take place either right before or right after a major tournament.
So it's not the courses.
No, I don't think it's the, I mean, I think the lack of getting big names is more about where it lied on the calendar, because people wanted to either get ready for the British Open or, you know, relax from the U.S. Open or whatever the case was, whenever it fell on that calendar. One of the criticisms of Detroit Golf Club that they say is that it's too easy, that the scores just get too high. But I don't buy that.
That was true at the Buick Open too.
Yeah, but I don't buy that. That's a reason that golfers don't want to play there. Golfers love to try to, you know, throw up a 59 or a 60. They'd love to have that challenge there. And plus, there are plenty of other tournaments on tour where you see the winning score is 25, 27 under.
Were we kind of doomed when we didn't get the signature event status when the PGA decided
they were
going to pay more out for non-majors and a bunch of tournaments got selected and Detroit wasn't one of them, when Detroit probably needed that prop up more than the Memorial did?
Well, yes, absolutely. But the Memorial is Jack's tournament, and that they get all excited about that.
But people were going to Jack's tournament to begin with.
Yes, because it's Jack's tournament.
They could have used this to prop up events that they maybe needed the incentive to get the bigger names out there, which, again, I don't know, but it feels to me like you could have used the resource of these signature events to prop up tournaments that weren't getting big names.
And the PGA Tour was trying to find ways to get the golfers to commit to more tournaments based on point systems for the FedEx Cup and all this, and knowing that LIV is on its last breath here, and just trying to encourage golfers to sign up. And when they had the first batch of golfers commit, like, felt like 5 or 6 weeks ago, it was a decent start. But I haven't heard much about the field since then, if they've added to it or not. But this is a tournament that has had big names before, but unfortunately it's a one or two big names each year instead of having them all every year. I mean, we've had Bryson DeChambeau. He was the champion. He won the tournament 1 year. They've had Dustin Johnson. You know, Ricky Fowler is always there because he's a spokesperson for Rocket, but Ricky Fowler is no longer the name that he was. You know, Jordan Spieth is no longer a name that he was. You know, now you want to get Rory. You want to get Scottie Scheffler. And these guys have not committed to play.
Look, I'm sure there's some golf people out there that are, know a little bit more than we do as far as why the state of Michigan can't seem to support a PGA Tour event. With news this morning that this is the last year of the Rocket Classic at Detroit Country Club. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. We're reacting to the breaking news this morning that the Rocket Classic, this will be the final year of the PGA Tour stop in Detroit, which is, it's too bad. I mean, look, there were people skeptical that it would work all along, and that doesn't mean that we here weren't rooting for it. Anything that is, you know, events here in Detroit, even if they're not your thing, it's cool, man. It's really, really cool to have a tour stop here. And having gone, and again, I'm not a great representative of what is a great fan event, because anytime I'm a fan, it doesn't matter. I'm excited just to be able to not have any real work responsibilities at a sporting event. I love it. But Steve in a car writes in, they discontinued the senior tour years ago at TPC Dearborn. Unnamed Texter is another LPGA event in Grand Rapids. Unnamed Texter, when I worked at Rocket 5 years ago, I worked the Rocket Classic every year, and it was my favorite perk I've ever had. Such an awesome experience to work, and was a huge benefit to the people of Detroit. We're asking, why can't this state consistently have a PGA Tour event when golf is so popular? I just looked it up. We have the third most golf courses in any state in the country, and we obviously, as far as landmass are concerned, not the biggest state. Unnamed Texter, LIV Golf did not do the Rocket Classic any favors as far as attracting named golfers.
No, it took away a bunch
of more reason to hate LIV.
There you go.
The Buick Open had to leave due to GM's bankruptcy. Buick had to pull its sponsorship, so other circumstances caused that. That's from Ron and Grand Blanc. Yeah, nobody picked up the sponsorship, though. No, it's not surprising. Michigan is mostly public golf. On the East Coast, is dominated by private clubs, writes an Unnamed Texter.
There's plenty of private clubs here.
Yeah. Scott says, somehow there has to be at least one golf tournament here. This is Michigan, damn it. We love golf. Well, there are LPGA events and senior event. Next text, problem with attracting and maintaining PGA golf events in Michigan is the lack of Fortune 500 companies for sponsorships. Jim writes in, good morning, guys. I really think they price people out of these events. You have to pick and choose. I can no longer afford all of them. I went to the NASCAR race this past weekend, and they charge $148 per person to walk on the track, plus $100 for tickets. It's gotten out of hand. That's from Jim. I got to tell you, I actually don't think the Rocket Classic is that expensive. I might be wrong, but I don't remember tickets being exorbitant. Thursday tickets, I just quick Google search. Thursday tickets, $31.30. Friday's $48. Saturday and Sunday starts at $58 a day. I mean, you know, look, is that – now, that's just a grounds ticket to get in, and that's the get-in fee. If you want anything else, it's obviously going to cost more. But that pricing isn't terrible, is it?
No, it's not terrible. I think that the world of golf is going through a transition right now because you're having LIV dismantle before our eyes. Oh. And they're trying to – well, right, but they're trying to figure out a way. Now the PGA Tour is going to try to figure out a way, okay, how do we integrate the best golfers, bring some of these golfers back into our tour, make it fair for everybody, come up with a schedule that works, and spit it out. Because there's, you know, rumors of different plans throughout, but it's one that maybe in the long run benefits Detroit because Detroit is a major market and they want to play in major markets. And because the tournament has been run well here, I think it bodes well. It's just, I think a lot of things went against it. The timing went against it on the calendar is probably number one. And if you're not able to attract the big golfers and then you see attendance drop over the last couple of years because the big name golfers aren't there, that's an issue. It's an issue. And you know, when they didn't get the extra money to be a signature event, that really hurt things. Because if you're not getting that, then you're looked at as a lesser event. And, you know, golfers don't want to play in lesser events. They want to play for the big money.
More feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox. The Detroit stigma always prevents things from, and then this period. The Detroit stigma always prevents things from. It's unfortunate, but it's like that for a long. There's some sentences that did not get finished there. I think a lot of courses in Michigan are not set up to handle large crowds. Well, that's true. Like, if you think of, I can't imagine, if you think of the resort golf that people play up north or some of the more beautiful courses up north, drop in 25,000, 30,000 people. Where are they staying? Like, well, I mean, what are they, how are they getting around?
I mean, if you look at Southeast Michigan, if you want to, it might have to be at some country clubs, right? I mean, we know that Oakland Hills has hosted a bunch of events, you know, U.S. Opens and Ryder Cups and things like that, the big events. Is it a stretch to think that they would be involved in some other PGA Tour event at some point? Probably not a yearly thing. I don't know if Oakland Hills wants any of that, but it could be. Franklin Hills is an amazing course. It's just down the road, you know, from Oakland Hills. There's several courses in Southeast Michigan, private courses that are unbelievable. And the thing about getting people to the event, it's you're having to bus people to the event. It's not like it's a stadium where you could everybody go to the Silverdome and park, you know, and walk into the stadium and you got your event. It's a country club, you know, it's different. So you have to be bussed in or you have to have some kind of parking availability real close. And it's, you're not just counting on people from the state to be in attendance. There are people that come from all over the country. You have to have the hotel space. And I think the city of Detroit and Metro Detroit itself has gotten better in that regard. But I guess we're still going to be years away from landing another PGA Tour event.
Here's an interesting criticism from Debt313 on Twitch. The worst part was the setup around the 18th hole. All the normal people could do was stand 150 yards from the hole in the fairway. It was so dumb how there was only a tiny section to stand around the green because of how the stands they built around the hole. I think there's some validity to that.
I just got a text from Stoney.
Yeah.
It's an interesting text. He says,
wait, does he have a shirt on? Is there a picture involved or a video?
No picture. Okay. He says, get Ishbia to make Gilbert look bad and have his mortgage company take over.
Well, I would imagine that they tried to find other sponsorship.
Sure. I think they probably, but now that it's known that they're not, can somebody else step up? I mean, we know that there are plenty of billionaires. Can
somebody
around.
Swoop in and save it?
Does Tom Gores want to, you know, sponsor something?
248-539-9797. Well, too bad. More feedback. We like to play rather than watch. It's from an unnamed texter. Last year, the Rocket Classic actually gave really good ticket price discounts. That's from another unnamed texter. Unnamed texter, Michigan doesn't hold golf tournaments because of multiple reasons. First reason is logistics. Second reason is following the crowd size. Third reason is setup, all the tents and supporting plumbing and electrical. Let's go to Kevin and Wixom here on 97.1. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up? Okay.
I guess I'm sitting here wondering, the membership at the club just spent a ton of dough to update the course, and I'm wondering if we're going to hear some backlash from them coming up here pretty quick, because that could not have been inexpensive for them to do, and now with no tournament there, I wonder if they're going to be feeling a little, you know, buyer's remorse for doing the remodel.
Maybe. I mean, I know that some members at clubs, they take it personally that they even have a tournament, because it means that there's like a month that you're not able to play because of all the time it takes to set up the event. So basically what's been, if they're being assessed to improve the course, well, they're the ones that get the benefit from the course being improved.
Yeah, but would they have done that? I mean, that's millions of dollars.
No, I can't imagine anybody's going to be happy when you're slapped with an assessment. Who knows what the assessment was, but when you're hit with that, that's, you know, that's a lot of money to shell out, and then if the tournament goes away, at least they get the benefit from it, but did they want to in the first place is a good point.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate. Yeah. It feels like probably wasted money.
I guess that was my point, Doug.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, too bad.
But, you know, maybe they had the conversation ahead of time saying, hey, if this tournament goes away, is this something we still want to do? Maybe they had that one.
Yeah. Kevin, thank you. Joe is in Milford and next. Hi, Joe.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
This is obviously spitballing speculation, but the CMO that set up Casey, the golf event through Rocket, left, is now at MGM as their CMO. I wouldn't be surprised if MGM slides into that slot.
Yeah, Casey Hervis?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was his event. He basically, you know, got set up and did everything. I could just see him pulling that off. MGM's in Detroit. I could see something like that happening. Obviously, I'm spitballing it, but I could see that happening. And then also with LIV going away, it actually is a good thing for MGM because of the fact that they're not going to have competition of another professional tournament in Plymouth in the area. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some opportunity there to kind of relook at why you would want to sponsor that event in Detroit.
Well, I hope that this news isn't final. And it's a good point, Joe. We just got a text from a listener, Mike. Is it true that the Rocket Classic is moving to Hammond? It is not. It's Carson Anderson, open lines, 248-539-9797.
Hey, never know.
You never do know. We'll get to that a little bit next hour because I drove through downtown Hammond on my way to Chicago. But Tiger game, I don't know. Is this a big game tonight? Are these big games? These games matter all of a sudden? Are people?
Yeah.
Are you just checking to see? Just check and see.
What are they doing tonight?
Tiger game starts. Are you like, check and see?
Troy Melton.
It's been really good. We'll talk some Tigers coming up at 10:50. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. Doug Carson, Scott Anderson, 97.1. 248-539-9797. If you are just joining us, Rocket Mortgage, the title sponsor, Paul has said enough, and the Rocket Classic is the last year of the PGA Tour stopping at the Detroit Country Club in Detroit, which is unfortunate, man. I mean, this was
Detroit Golf Club.
Sorry, yes, which is unfortunate because it was very. I mean, it was just another cool event to have here in Detroit. I went as a fan twice, loved every second of it. Thought it was great. Unfortunately, it hasn't been able to survive, and neither has any PGA Tour stop in our state, which is perplexing given the popularity of golf. Let's go to Joe in Pontiac. You're next. Hello, Joe.
Good morning.
Hey.
I was calling a comment. Probably when I heard this morning, maybe 2-3 years ago, I did a lot of work, 2-3 years, like for 5 years down there on the golf course on houses. And one of the members that I had worked for had told me a couple years ago that it might be discontinued. And the reason being was that the members were getting cut into their golf time And then a lot of the golf they're playing, they put them on the other, the back course. And they were kind of getting a little bit fed up with it. And he would tell me, yeah, you know what, we might not vote yes on a new contract. So that's what he told me. And I wasn't surprised, and he's a member. That was the reasoning. He said that could happen.
Yeah, I can understand why. I don't know if that's prevailing opinion among the membership at Detroit Golf Club, but I could see that where some members would be really upset about having this tournament every year. You got to shut down playing one. They have 36 holes there. You shut down one of the courses for, you know, a couple months leading up to the tournament. Then you got to break down everything afterwards. That's got to be a real bummer.
Yeah, working down there through the whole process, it did get really congested and chaotic when they start setting up. And, you know, they start setting up quite a bit ahead of time. And just to sit and watch that, I could see it, you know. And like I said, they cut into their playing time. So I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, Joe, thank you for the phone call. Jeff Lesson, Lesson on Golf.
Yep.
One of the foremost authorities we have here at the station. LIV is the reason Rocket failed. LIV caused the PGA Tour to go to signature events. That caused all non-signature events to have lousy fields and awful attendance. LIV is the gift that keeps on giving to the sport of golf, isn't it?
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. All right. Tigers. Troy Melton versus and the Tigers versus Minnesota. And Taj Bradley, who dominated the Tigers earlier this year. You put in your show sheet, do games matter again? And, you know, there's going to be a large swath of Detroit that the games always matter. And they never stop watching. There are going to be a large swath of Detroit that probably won't care until they're in the playoffs, that parachute in for the bigger games that probably aren't huge, either baseball fans or Tiger fans. And then there's everybody in the middle. And, you know, my guess is they probably got people checking and seeing. People will check on the score, flip on the radio. I think that middle group is probably returned to the brink of interest.
Well, there were big crowds over the weekend.
There were.
They had 32,000, 32,000, and 34,000 over the weekend, which was great to see. Now the weather has started to turn and turn nice. Hopefully they'll be able to escape rain tonight during the game. But you know, we're getting hot out there again, and people want to get out to the ballpark and see baseball, as long as the team's worth watching. And with 5 wins in their last 6 games, it's turning it around. They've got a long way to go, obviously. They're still 12 games below 500. They're still 9 games out of first place in the division. But they've won 5 of their last 6. And it's a nice change in the right direction now that they've gotten a couple of key players back to the lineup. In the next week, they're going to get back 2 starters in the rotation. The next 2 weeks, they'll have a third back in the rotation, more than likely. So it's getting exciting, you know, to think this week we got possible returns of Scooble and Verlander at the end of the week. That could be awesome.
You know, I mean, look, it's nice to see them show a little fight. And you can, if you choose, draw a straight line between the return of players and their recent, you know, sudden case of good play and offense and clutch hitting, and look at the OPS numbers and guys returning to their normal roles, seeing more comfortable, and other players being phased out of the lineup and all that. Consistently through all this has been good starting pitching, regardless of who is starting. And, you know, the bullpen, which has been a problem all year, might get an influx of former starters that can be repurposed as bullpen arms. You know, Cater Montero could be a prime candidate for that.
Ty Madden already is.
Yep. Melton Flaherty. I mean, I would imagine Melton's probably too promising as a starter to move into a bullpen role. But, you know, given Flaherty's struggles and where he is in his career, is he at the point where, you know, you just say, all right, we want you to be part of this, but we're going to repurpose you as a bullpen? I don't know, but that could help. It could help a lot if you could get something out of those guys.
Well, Flaherty's been interesting because he's starting to strike guys out at a pretty good clip. So does that look like that maybe he would be someone who could be a bullpen arm? Or do they just decide to extend the rotation? Do they go with for lack of a better term, a six-man rotation? Is that a possibility?
Yeah. I think we need to stop and maybe every day start a Kevin McGonigal appreciation thread on a message board somewhere. This guy is having such a great season. This is exactly what you dream about if you are a prospect watcher. You dream about the guy that lives up to the hype. The guy that you follow, the guy that you say, oh, look, he's now ranked this prospect or that prospect. When's he going to be here? You get all kinds of excited. And you realize that this guy actually might be better than Eric Munson or Scott Moore or any of the, Christian Stewart. Wow. Think of insert former Detroit Tiger prospect letdown
Scott
here.
Scott Lucider.
Yeah. And I don't know why we chose the Wayback Machine, but yes, McGonigal is exactly why people get excited about prospects. And prospects are lottery tickets. Like, they don't always hit. We know that. And, you know, the kid's incredible. And imagine that he's just getting started. This is the kind of player that I watched other organizations have and was jealous.
Yeah, just please stay healthy. You know, you go back and think about the weekend series and that stupid play at first base because the clumsy nailer.
Some might call him a chump.
Yeah. Well, would he be the chump of the week?
We have to check 971theticket.com.
Sure. But, when Josh Naylor runs back and collides with him, it's like it's completely unnecessary. Please don't. Let's keep our players healthy, right? Particularly a gem like McGonigal. Be nice to keep him healthy. But the upside is so huge. It's so massive. And you see with that, the home run he hit, the swing, it was just a big swing, and you knew it was gone the second he hit it. His hard hit contact rate is great. He's leading rookies in all types of categories, and he's ours. And it's a position player, and that's fun.
248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback. It is Carson Anderson here on a Tuesday, here on 97.1.